Good morning, church, and thank you, Aaron. Thank you, Aaron. Serving the Lord behind the scenes in production. Our production team makes so much happen here on Sunday mornings. Camera shots that make us look a little closer and more personal. PowerPoint slides that help us worship and engage in the sermon better. Sound and lighting to help us to hear and experience the presence of God. And most of all of that goes on behind the scenes. You typically don't see those folks. Our production team and staff make the live stream possible for those worshiping from home or faraway places. I'm just curious, if you've ever watched a Mount Horeb service online, would you raise your hand? Yeah. Most of you have watched the services online, and our production people make that possible, even for those who are watching this morning. So let's give a big shout out to Aaron and our production team and thank them for serving behind the scenes. Certainly God sees you, and we want you to know we see you as well. Now this is our fourth week in the Rhythm series. The preaching team has set out to cast the vision for the discipleship process here at Mount Horeb. How you can take the next necessary step in staying connected in your relationship with God and to fulfill your God-given purpose. If you're listening today, whether here or online, you're alive for a purpose. God created you on purpose for a purpose. And I love how the team has been repeating this statement that this process is not something to be completed. It's a rhythm to be repeated. That we never arrive as disciples. We never are finished in our journey with Christ. We're always being transformed or being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Now, as I begin to work on this sermon on rhythm, does anybody have a hard time spelling rhythm? You know, I just have a hard time spelling the word, and I looked it up. I didn't know this, that rhythm is one of the few English words that has no vowels. Now, you could argue that Y could possibly be a vowel, but basically no vowels. And I can relate to that because Lynn says, I have no rhythm, right? And Lynn loves to dance, and when we slow dance, which is kind of fun, she gets really frustrated because we just go in a circle, which I always thought was okay till she explained to me that that's not good. So in getting ready for her 40th high school reunion a few years ago, I took secret dance lessons to learn how to shag. And I learned three steps, right? I mean, I can't repeat them because I haven't been practicing. But when it came time for them to have the first dance at the high school reunion, I said to Lynn, you want to dance? And she said, what? I said, let's go give it a try. And I went out there and immediately, you know, did the three moves, and it was evidently pretty impressive. Here's a picture of us out there cutting a rug, so to speak. And it was evidently so impressive that they asked me to serve as the judge for the dance competition, right? And not a good idea. And one of the songs I think that was playing during that dance competition was maybe a familiar song from the 70s by Carly Simon. And it went something like this. You walked into the party like you were walking onto a yacht. Your hat strategically dipped below one eye. Your scarf, it was apricot. You had one eye in the mirror as you watched yourself. You are so vain. You probably think this song is about you, don't you? You're so vain. Well, today we're going to talk about moving from vanity to humility, how to walk humbly with the Lord. And in doing so, we're going to look at one of the most powerful scriptures in the Bible. Theologians call it the Christ hymn. And these verses are about Jesus and his incarnation, his humility, and his exaltation. So I'm going to invite you to stand as we read God's holy word together. And if you want to, you can certainly read this from the screens. It's coming from Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 through 11, the New Living Translations. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interest, but take an interest in others too. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Our gracious God, as we work our way through this message on living humbly, we thank you that Jesus Christ is our ultimate example, that he gave up his divine privileges. And Lord, I pray that as we allow your Holy Spirit to speak to us, that we too would consider giving up some of our privileges that prevent us from being a servant, that prevent us from humbling ourselves and serving you and others. So give us ears to hear, give me the words to speak, so you may be glorified and our lives may be changed. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Now we believe that a disciple of Jesus Christ, according to Scripture, should live humbly. And no question, this is a rhythm that is countercultural for many. We live in a world that is obsessed with status and vanity and recognition and position. Yet the Bible tells us that living humbly is a good thing. In Micah chapter 6, we read these words, "Know, O people, the Lord has told you what is good, and this is what he requires of you, to do what is right, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God." Three things: do what is right, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God. I love how the Message paraphrases that last part of Micah 6:8. It says this: don't take yourself too seriously, take God seriously. Part of living a humble life is not taking yourself too seriously, but taking God very seriously. Biblical humility is characterized by how we relate to God, taking God seriously, how we see ourselves, not taking ourselves too seriously, and how we interact with others. Now, I believe the first step in becoming humble is to acknowledge that he is God and we're not. That's the first step. He is God and we are not. Take God seriously. Realize how much God loves you. Realize what God has done for you. Realize that God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have eternal life. Realize that God wants to walk with you. When you take God seriously every day, and sometimes many times during the day, you confess your sins. You clear the air with God as you walk with him. Then you listen for his wisdom and direction and accept his guidance. And you begin to serve him humbly. So Christian humility begins by taking God seriously. When we live humbly, we are the most like Jesus. Did you hear that? When we live humbly, we are the most like Jesus. Now, Christian humility is also how we relate to others and how we see ourselves. Christian humility is not false modesty. It is not self-depreciation. Christian humility is not becoming a doormat. It is not staying quiet or sitting in a corner. Christian humility is not weakness. I preached a sermon a few weeks ago on meekness, that meekness is not weakness. I love this quote by Johnny Cash, kind of a man's man. He said, being a Christian isn't for sissies. It takes a real man to live for God, a lot more man than to live for the devil. It takes strength from the Holy Spirit. Christian humility is not weakness, but it's developing a total trust and a dependency upon God. Tom Halliday said it this way, living humbly is not putting yourself down, it's lifting God up. It's making God more famous. It's giving God the glory. It's giving God the credit. I love this statement. It's been used by a lot of people, modified it for this series. Living humbly is not thinking less of yourself. It is thinking of yourself less. It's don't think about yourself so much. Think more about the things of God. James 4:10 says it this way, humble yourself before the Lord, and he will lift you up in honor. Humble yourself before the Lord, and he will lift you up in honor. And one of the professional athletes that I admire who humbles himself before the Lord, and certainly the Lord has lifted up him up in honor, is a golfer by the name of Scottie Scheffler, the number one golfer in the world. So far in 2025, he's won 5 professional tournaments, including 2 majors. He's earned a cool $26 million. And yet Scottie Scheffler knows how to walk humbly with the Lord. I want to read you what he said. He said this, I would say my greatest priorities are my faith and my family. Those come first for me. And golf is third in that order. I've said it for a long time. Golf is not how I identify myself. I don't identify myself by winning tournaments, chasing trophies, becoming famous, or whatever it is. I feel like I've been given a gift to play golf, but at the end of the day, the golf tournament is over. You take your hat off, you shake hands, and you move on. And so my faith is such an important part of my golf game because it's not only an important part of my life, it's what helps me realize that golf is not that big a deal. I'm called to compete. I want to win every single golf tournament. But at the end of the day, that's not what satisfies my soul. You see, friends, Christian humility is not taking yourself too seriously. I love this statement here. Living humbly is being really good at something and not being consumed by it. You can be really good at something, just don't let it consume you. And Scottie Scheffler has modeled how to walk humbly, even being the best golfer in the world right now. And Jesus, from this passage we read, is our ultimate example of living humbly. In Philippians 2, the Apostle Paul calls us to imitate or have the same attitude that Jesus has. And the Bible says in this passage that Jesus emptied himself. It's where we get the Greek word kenosis, that Jesus volunteered, I want you to hear that, he volunteered to set aside his divine privilege and glory to take on all the limitations of being a human being in order to become a sacrificial servant. That's really what it means to be a humble servant. It's what it means to be a volunteer. It's choosing to set aside his divine privilege and take on the limitations of human form. Yeah, if I volunteer, is it going to limit me some? Is it going to take some of my time? For sure. But why do we do that? Because it's what Jesus did. Jesus was willing to leave the splendors of heaven to be born in the shadows of the earth. He was willing to experience hunger. He was willing to experience rejection. He was willing to experience pain and suffering and humiliation by dying a cruel death on a cross, dying to pay the penalty for our sins. Now, the Bible is clear that Jesus was fully human and fully divine, but when he humbled himself, he deliberately limited himself. He limited himself. In supreme humility, he demonstrated supreme obedience. In supreme humility, he demonstrated supreme obedience. And that is the call to all of us. Jesus said, if you want to follow me, now, he didn't say if you want to believe in me. He said, if you want to follow me as my disciple, you got to deny yourself. You got to limit yourself. Take up your cross and follow me. And I can tell you, after looking back on all the years of ministry, it's been the greatest blessing in my life to limit myself with God's help, take up a cross, and follow Jesus. So how humble was Jesus? I came across these statements that I thought really helped demonstrate how humble he was. You know, when he came, Jesus came to the earth, made the decision to be born as a baby, he could have come as an angel. He could have been this glorious creature, but he chose to be a human being. How humble was he? He chose to be born in an obscure and oppressed place, a poor place, a place of poverty. He was born as a baby. He was humble enough to learn a skill as a carpenter. He was humble enough to choose friends that were imperfect, friends that were a work in process. He was humble enough to face and endure temptations. He was humble enough to endure humiliation. Humble enough to endure humiliation and crucifixion. I want you to hear this. Jesus lived humbly to fulfill his divine purpose. And the only way that you and I are going to fulfill our divine purpose, the reason that God brought us onto the planet, is to live humbly as a servant. Yesterday, I did a funeral for Lila Whitaker. She died from ALS. And when she was born in 1942, on September the 12th, her mother died in childbirth. And when she was diagnosed with the disease, she said to her husband, "Now I will finally get to see my birth mother." And what I said in her sermon yesterday, she was a Romans 8:28 baby, that God brought good from a very difficult situation and raised her up for a purpose. And she lived her life with a purpose. And the purpose was not to satisfy herself. The purpose was to serve God and to glorify God. He's given all of us the same calling. Jesus served his purpose through teaching, preaching, healing, baptizing, washing feet. His purpose was to be the perfect sacrifice for the sins of the world, to save all of us who put our trust in him. The purpose of this rhythm is to choose to learn how to walk in step with God so that you can discover your God-given purpose. Live on purpose for God. It says we must have the same attitude that Christ had. How is it possible for us to have the same attitude of Jesus? How is it possible for us to think the way that Jesus thinks? I believe the Bible tells us that we receive spiritual power to be humble through the Holy Spirit. We can't create humility. We can fake humility, but biblical humility comes from the Holy Spirit. When we walk with the Spirit of God in prayer, in scripture reading, in obedience, when we stay connected to God, the Spirit of God will begin to produce Christ-like fruit in our lives. Galatians 5, 22, 23 says it this way, "But the Spirit produces in us love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, humility, and self-control. There is no law against such things as these. I don't produce it. You don't produce it. The Holy Spirit produces it within us. Now, oftentimes under the fruit of the Spirit, gentleness is the word for humility. And gentleness in the Greek means a quality of humility. It means to have a teachable and a non-resistant spirit toward God. Do you need a non-resistant spirit against God? Is there parts of your life that resist God? Are there parts of your life whenever somebody invites you to serve somewhere that there's immediately a resistance? I'm really busy. I got some other things I got to get done. When I get all those things done, yeah, I'll consider being a servant for the Lord. But right now, I'm just kind of, and that's a resistant spirit. I believe when the Holy Spirit is in us, he takes away our resistant spirit. Now, we need to have boundaries. We can't serve 24/7, but we can love God 24/7. And whenever he calls us to do something for him, we say, yes, and I'm ready. Now, the fruit of the Spirit is a process. I love to teach on the fruit of the Spirit. I won't go too far down this trail right now, but whenever an apple tree is connected to water and nutrients, it automatically produces apples. You can't walk by an apple tree and hear it grunting trying to grow an apple. It just happens because it's connected to the source of nutrients. And I believe that when we're connected with God, when we're in prayer and scripture and obedience to him, that he begins to naturally produce in us the qualities that we need to be Christ-like, including humility and service. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So I want you to hear this morning. This is very important in the church that we understand this. Humility is not a badge we wear. It's a fruit we bear. People need to see evidence of your fruitfulness as a Christian. There's something different about you. It's because Christ is in me. It's a fruit we bear, not a badge we wear. See, living humbly is about action and not appearance. Some of us like to appear humble, but we don't see the action. It's action, not appearance. I love what is in this book, and if you've not got a copy of this book, make sure you pick one up. It's what the church is going through right now. But in the book it says, the rhythm of humble service shapes both our character and our community. I love that. Humble service shapes us, our character, and our community. It reminds us that the church isn't a show we attend, but a body we participate in. For Lila Whitaker yesterday, I shared it wasn't a show. For her, it was where she served. Everyone has a role, everyone is needed, and when we serve with humility, we begin to look a lot more like Jesus. When we serve with humility, we begin to look a lot more like Jesus. So how do you walk humbly? Let me give you some practical steps this morning, just some quick steps. Number one, you got to embrace the mindset of Jesus. You got to embrace thinking like Jesus. You got to embrace imitating Jesus. It's a choice to invite Jesus into your life. It's a choice to get close to God. And when you get close to him, you'll begin to understand and think like Jesus thinks. It's when you place him on the throne of your life. It's when you step off the throne and the world doesn't evolve around you anymore. Your world evolves around Jesus. You embrace Jesus in your life. Secondly, it says Jesus emptied himself. We empty ourselves of personal agendas. We empty ourselves of selfish ambition. We empty ourselves by saying, Father, not my will, but thy will be done. So the question is this morning, what do you need to set aside in order to serve? Is it fear? Is it a calendar? Is it hobbies? Embrace empty and then empathy. Show humility by meeting people where they are. When you serve, you don't intimidate. You imitate Christ by meeting people where they are. And then you engage. You engage in serving. The book talks about some steps you can take. But start and serve at a one-time event. You know, just there's all kinds of events happen at Mount Horeb. And say, I'm going to take a stab at serving one time. Or then build into serving in a regular role. I love what Aaron said that in her video, that serving builds a rhythm and a reliability. It builds new relationships. It helps you meet people in the church. It's not just a church I attend. It's a church where I serve. Can you say that? Mount Horeb is not a church that I attend. It's a church where I serve. It's not a church where I attend. It's a church where I'm growing to be more like Christ. And then I would say to you, expect joy and real satisfaction. Don't be concerned about returns right now. I love what Jesus said in the parable of the talents. He says that those who are faithful in little things, one day will be made faithful in big things. You know, I'm looking forward to getting to heaven and seeing what God has for me next. Faithful in little things. Expect joy and satisfaction. And then enjoy the joy of serving the Lord. Aaron talked in her video about joy. Last week, Tom Fitz shared how much joy he received by being generous. And let me give you a quick warning about humility. We should choose humility rather than being humble by God. Do you hear that? It's much better to choose humility than being humbled by God. Jesus said this in Matthew 23, 12, but those who exalt themselves will be humbled. Those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. I love how the Message says it, paraphrase, do you want to stand out? Then step down. Do you want to stand out? Then step down. Be a servant. If you puff yourself up, you'll get the wind knocked out of you. But if you're content to simply be yourself, your life will count for plenty. Your life will count for plenty. In the sermon yesterday I did for Lila Whitaker, there was so much that we had to talk about because her life counted for plenty. You know, one of our first priorities at Mount Horeb 31 years ago, was to make a statement that every member should be in ministry. Every member, if you're a member of this church, you should be plugged into a ministry. And there's all kinds of them possible. When I first started here, we went back and tried to estimate. There were about 10 ministries. So there wasn't many people, but we had 10 ministries you could get involved in. I asked our team to research for me this week. We now have over 70 ministries. Every member in ministry, 70 ministry opportunities. And those 70 ministries were started, many of them, by people just like you. And these ministries have thrived and changed the community and the world because of people just like you. Now, there have been hundreds of people that have stepped into serving at Mount Horeb that has made it the church it is today. But I want to take a moment as the Lord laid these on my heart and just lift up a few to you who made an impact. The first person I want to lift up is a guy by the name of Mickey Havard. Mickey was our finance treasurer when I arrived at Mount Horeb. He kept the finance records in a box under his bed in his mobile home. And one of our members actually wrote a dot matrix program so he could move the records onto a computer. He couldn't do Word and all that stuff, so he wrote him his own program. And we have a kind of a rule around here that we established 31 years ago that we don't put plaques on the wall for people. But if you go to the second pew in the sanctuary, center section, underneath the pew, there's a plaque with Mickey's name on it. Because his best friend says, can I put a plaque under the pew? It's probably got chewing gum all over, but that's okay. Second name, Marianne Schneider and Valerie. 27 years ago, Marianne had a vision to begin a special needs basketball program. Every year now, we literally have hundreds of students and volunteers, special needs adults serving in that ministry. Some of you remember Louise Plott. Louise Plott, well into her 80s, came to Fifth Quarters here on Friday nights after the Lexington football games, and she was in charge of frying chicken tenders. And nobody could fry chicken tenders, except maybe Jay Hutto, as good as Louise Plott. She was in her 80s, and she would get home about 11:30 on Friday nights after cooking chicken tenders. My good friend Randall Robinson, who was the CEO of the South Carolina National Guard Federal Credit Union, served 5 years as a referee for upper basketball. And what I didn't know in talking to Catherine was that every Saturday, Randall ran for 10 miles. It was his practice, every Saturday, 10-mile run until upper basketball season started. And he gave up his 10-mile run every Saturday to be with the kids and the other referees. Joe Pinkham and Ed Hartung, well, they started our wheelchair ramp ministry. And together, they have built, and the team through the years since 2012 has built 225 wheelchair ramps that have increased the mobility of people that can't navigate steps anymore. And how about my friend Ray Edmonds? God gave Ray a passion for providing clean water in the Sudan. And I don't know if Ray's ever been to the Sudan or not, probably not. But through Ray's humble service and persistence, Mount Horeb since 2002 has given $1,075,000 to build 1,075 wells to provide clean water for over 1.1 million people in the Sudan. One person. That's right, a humble servant. Now, I've just lifted up a few names and faces that are special to me through the years, and I could give 100 more. I see some of you sitting out here with blue shirts on and red shirts on today. But I want to ask the question, who's next? Who's going to step up to be a humble servant? Who's going to step up and fulfill their God-given purpose? Who's going to step up and live humbly for the Lord and change the world? Who will step up and make Jesus more famous? Who will start a new ministry that hasn't even been thought of yet? Because you said yes to the Lord. And one day, when you step up and your life comes to an end, you'll hear these words, "Well done, thou good and faithful," what? Servant. Well done. Well done. Now, we want to give you an opportunity to sign up to serve. There's going to be a link on the screen. You can take a picture of that and save it in your phone. And when you get home later, go there and explore getting involved. I believe that these people that I've named today and many, many more, God put a fire in their heart. Set them on fire to be a humble servant. As we sing this closing song, it talks about God light a fire in my heart. Let me pray with you. Father God, thank you for those who have served here faithfully through the years at Mount Horeb. Some of them have gone on to be with you. We thank you for their service. All those that are serving this morning, whether it's in production or in children's ministry or youth ministry or worship, greeting, wherever they are serving, thank you for them. But Lord, I thank you for the tremendous potential this morning. Servants who can change the world. Lord, I pray that we would look to Jesus as our ultimate example. Bend our knee, humble ourselves, and say, Lord, use me. Lord, send me. Lord, I'll try for your glory with your help. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.